Tonight is Monday night, January 3rd, 2011, 28th day of Tevet. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Sukkah Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Okay, we started the Mishnah last week on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. And just a couple of issues that I have to take care of, and the primary one we'll see in a few minutes, was the issue about how does somebody be mechala mos that don't belong to him. Who asked that question? Moshe, you asked that question last week? I'll give you credit for it, to send your mother another progress report. Okay. The Mishnah stated, Halokeach lulav b'shvius, somebody who buys a lulav during the Shemitah year, no sein lo esrog b'matana, lefi she'ein rasha'i lelo kol b'shvius. The person has to give him the esrog as a gift, because you are not permitted to purchase it on Shemitah. That's what the Mishnah said. Said the Gemara, I'll just read a couple lines of Gemara again. Lo ratza liten lo b'matana mahu. What happens if the dealer does not want to give away the esrog as a gift? Amar avhuna mavliat me esrog belulav. What you do is you absorb the cost of the esrog in the lulav. We pointed out last week the machloikas Rashi and other Rishonim, whether or not you specific, let's assume you charge $50 a set. You just say it's $50 for the set. Instead of itemizing and say it's $40 for the esrog, $10 for this, $5 for this, $3 for this, it's $50 for the set. So through havla'ah, through having one purchase price, you now circumvent the isur of having paid money for payroll shvius. Other Rishonim say, the Rambam said quite clearly, that that doesn't work here either. You have to explicitly state, I am charging you $45 for the lulav, $2.50 for the hadassim, $2.50 for the aravos, and the esrog I'm throwing in for nothing. Good. First of all, I just forgot, I want to dedicate the shir. Mimi Schechter has yahrzeit tonight for her father, Rabbi Ribner, Rav Yitzchak Ben Ephraim Moshe. So we're dedicating tonight's shir le'ilui nishmaso. So that's what that was the machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. Now the Mishnah itself didn't say why you're not allowed to purchase this on Shavuos. Why can't you charge for the esrog on the Shemitah year? The Mishnah didn't say. It just says you're not permitted. That's why you have to give away as a gift. The Mishnah did not say why you're not allowed to. So the Braisa now asks that question. Velesiv lebehedya, what's the problem? Why can't I give the dealer money for the esrog which I am purchasing? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? So if you now, if you look into Rabbeinu Hananel, Rabbeinu Hananel says something startling. Startling in answering this question. It's the Rabbeinu Hananel, afterwards says Piska, where it says Piska, three lines after that, it says V'ho Esrog Shehu Pri Asur Bahana. V'ho Esrog Shehu Pri Asur Bahana. So everybody see, if you have the Rabbeinu Hananel, and some of the Gemaras, it's all the way on the bottom of the page. I don't know, does the art scroll have the Rabbeinu Hananel? Yeah, it does, yeah. What? You see it? You have it? So he writes, right after Pisgah, he writes, three lines afterwards, three lines because it's on the bottom. He writes, Ha esrog lefi shehu pri asur behana'a. Is that what he says? Which means, you know why the Mishnah makes this statement that you're not permitted to charge for the esrog? because it's Asur Bahana. It's Asur Bahana. If it's Asur Bahana, not only are you not permitted to eat it, you can't make a profit from it. That's what is implied by the words Asur Bahana. And every Rishon on the planet asks the Rabbeinu Chananah, Eich Yitachein Shepek Kadosh Yomar Davar Kazeh. How is it possible that a holy mouth should make such a statement and say that Peiro Shmita are Asur Bahana?
You can eat them.
Of course you can eat them. The mitzvah is to eat them. They're not Asur Bahana at all. The mitzvah is to eat them. You're not permitted to derive any side benefit from it, yes. You have to eat them. Would anybody ever write that Masa Sheni is Asur Bahana? Absolutely not. If you would, you'd be lying. But then it's not Asur Bahana. You can't write Asur Bahana. And as we said last week, the commerce per se, according to Rashi, is not Asur either. Yeah.
He's referring to Akhtus Manabir, and he's going into the Rambam position that Manabir is really beer. You've got to fully destroy it.
That is possible. But then, the Mishnah would not be understood then if that's the case either. Why? If we're talking about that it's after the...
You can't give it away either.
Correct. Right. You can't give it away, and you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. Because
right,
it's asabachila.
Right. Right.
What Yisrael suggested was as follows. There is a famous Shita Saramba, which obviously this can't be the Rabbeinu Chananah, but there is a famous Shita Saramba which says that I mentioned to you last week that what happens with Peiro Shmita is that they are available for everybody. Anybody can eat them. They are in effect hefker. I, the owner of the field, am allowed to take some for my family as well. As soon as there is no longer anything in the field, when the season has come, in which it's what? The natural produce have already expired, that's it, there's nothing growing any further, I am obligated to take all of the fruits and put them back out on the field. That's how everybody learns the mitzvah of biur is. What does biur mean? You take it out of your house, biur, like cleaning it out, take it out of your house and put it back on the field to make it available for all of the anim. That's how 99.9% of all we shayin
are.
Correct. That once that I can't hoard as long as there's nothing left for anybody else. As long as there is something left on the field for anybody else, I am entitled to as much of the produce as I'd like. But as soon as the aniyim and animals do not have the opportunity to eat, then I have to take it out and put it on the house. Put it back in the field. And the Mishnah in Shviyas has times, artificial times, when this fruit has reached this manabiyur, and that when they know nothing's growing after this point. So all we shine and believe just the way I describe it. When there comes this manabiyur, what do? You take it out of the field and you let aniyim eat it. Except for the Rambam. The Rambam believes that when the Zman HaBiur comes, if you have stuff in your house, what do you have to do with it? You have to destroy it. You have to destroy it. Nobody eats it. So Yisrael suggests maybe that's what's running through the Rabbeinu Chananah. That what is he talking about, that an esrog is asur bahana'ah? At a time when what? When it's already after the Zman HaBiur, when all of the esrogim are no longer growing. But the problem would be, you can't say that our Mishnah is talking about that case. Because if that's the case, you couldn't use it for the mitzvah either. Because the first criteria of an esrog for the mitzvah is, you have to have the license to eat it. If you don't have the license to eat it, you can't be the kind of mitzvah of Arvavim. You have to have the ability to eat it. So that's not what the Rabbeinu Chananah could have been referring to. I'm just telling you that when you go to Glad Express tomorrow, somebody should say, oh, you're a boo. Rabbeinu Chananah? You know that there is a very difficult Rabbeinu Chananah who writes that Peros Shmita are Asur Behana'a. And it's not the proper way, with all due respect, it's not my attack, it's all Rishonim's attack. that the proper way to describe something that has limitations on its use. Yes, it's not available. You can't do whatever you darn please with it. But it's available for consumption. And even if you sell it, what happens? The dummy, as we said last week, is two-faces dumb out. The money now becomes endowed with Kedusha Shvias. So it's not that it's Asur Bahana, like really Surei Hana. We mentioned an example last week of something that is Asur Bahana. Orla. Peros of Orla are Asur Bahana. You're not allowed to sell them, you're not allowed to eat them, you can't do anything with it. That's Isurei Hana. Chametz on Pesach is Asur Bahana. You have no use for it whatsoever. But to claim that this is Asur Bahana is a little difficult. It is very, very difficult. Now, point number two. This is a question which Rabbi Kiveger and others ask. It's not written here in Rabbi Kiveger. It's in the Chedusha, I believe it's in the Chedusha Rabbi Kiveger. And it's a very sharp question. Extremely sharp question. We are talking about an esrog of Shemitah. And what are you doing with this esrog? You're setting aside for your mitzvah. We are going to learn on Daf Mem Vav that what happens when you set aside an article away for the purpose of a mitzvah. What are you allowed to do with it? Absolutely. What do we call that? Correct. It's huktzah l'mitzvasa. Set aside for a mitzvah, and you are not permitted to eat it. For example, on your sukkah schach, you hung up apples. Perfectly edible apples. If you hang them as a decoration in your sukkah, you are not allowed to eat them. On Yom Tov itself, you're not even allowed to move them. Because it's muktzah. On Chol HaMoed, that part of muktzah doesn't apply. You can move muktzah around, but you're not allowed to eat anything that has been set aside for a mitzvah. So the question is, tell me what the mitzvah of Peros Shemitah is for. What is what are you supposed to use Peros Shemitah for? What is it for? Lochem yihyeh le'achla. So he asks the following question. How could it possibly, that you use something for a mitzvah, and as a result of the fact that it's now been set aside for a mitzvah, what have you now done to that esrog? You're not allowed to eat it. How can you have a fruit, which on the one hand, the definition of what should be done with that fruit is to do what? What are you supposed to do? You have to eat it. There's nothing else to do with it. And now, for these 7 days, you're not allowed to eat it. Raises a very interesting question. Yeah.
And a similar question, can you use nuclear oil for your hotter?
What?
Can you use the nuclear oil?
Correct. I once gave that shiur on 1 year Shemitah. It's the exact same question. Exact same question. But there, with oil, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of using Shemen Shel Shvias? You burn it. So that's the head there for using it. Because the kilui is being done in its perfect fashion. But here, by setting aside the esrog for a dvar mitzvah, you are counteracting exactly what the Torah wants you to do. The Torah says, this fruit is available only to eat. So by setting it aside as a mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat it. So it should be inherently usur to use esrogi shvias, not because of the fact that you'll violate Kedusha Shemitah. You're not going to violate Kedusha Shemitah. But you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kedusha Shemitah. Kedusha Shemitah means that I should have the mitzvah to eat. Right, you'll eat them afterwards. But conceptually, it's funny that I should have a fruit that at the same time, the halacha is telling me, you have to eat it, you have to eat it. With a regular fruit, there's no mitzvah to eat it. A regular esrog, non-Shemitah. Nobody is telling me, there's a mitzvah to eat you. That's not true. But an esrog shel Shemitah is talking. You ever hear an esrog talk? It says, please eat me. That's what the mitzvah is. please eat. By setting it aside for a mitzvah, you're denying the essence of the kiyum mitzvah. There's no answer for that. It's just a very cute, very sharp, insightful question about how this whole Mishnah understand the use of an esrog of Shemitah under those circumstances. That's point number two. Now, says the Gemara, why can't you... The answer is yes, and you know if we. That's why with Peres or Shemitah, you can't just throw it in the garbage. What do you have to do with Peres or Shemitah if you don't eat it? You have to let it rot. You know, wrap. You have to let it wrap until it's inedible anymore. Correct, because it's down to Kedusha Shemitah. So now let's continue the Gemara. The Gemara asks, what's wrong with giving some money for the esrog? So we read this Gemara last week. V'leisav le'behedya, let him give it directly. Why can't you charge for the esrog? Answered the Gemara, l'fi she'ein mosrin d'mei peros l'shviyas l'amaretz. I, the buyer, am not permitted to give the money to the Am Ha'aretz. I, the buyer, am not permitted to give money to the Am Ha'aretz, the dealer who is an Am Ha'aretz. Meaning, if the dealer was what? If the dealer was whom? Was a Talmud Chacham, there would have been no problem whatsoever paying for the esrog. That's what Rashi is going to say. There would have been no problem paying for the esrog. Why not? I would give the money to the dealer. The money would now be tofes kedusha shviyas. Remember, we said that peiro shmita a tofes es dameha. Tofes es dameha, meaning it's not pinyon. It's not that when you give the money, the fruit goes out of kedusha and the money becomes kadosh. No, both maintain kedusha. The original fruit and the money which you received in exchange for it are now endowed with kedusha shviyas. Now, had this guy not been Amoretz, what would he have done with the money that he just received from his buyer? What would he do? He would take the money, purchase fruits, and treat them with Kedusha Shviyas. How would he treat them with Kedusha Shviyas? He would eat some, and put the rest of it back where? Out on the field to enable the Aniyim and the Behemos to eat. And Amoretz, as we will see in Rashi, we said this last week, always has in mind to hoard the money. You give him the money, he puts it in cashier, he's going to become a multi-millionaire, he's going out tonight to buy 1,000 mega million tickets tonight. It's a waste of time because I have the winning ticket right here. But he can buy 1,000 tickets. 1,000 tickets he can buy. And he will violate the law of hoarding payrolls or shvius.
The tickets don't become kadosh.
What?
The tickets don't become kadosh.
So now, in this case, you could have said that the Easter is upon him to sell it to me. But nobody says that. I am the buyer. I violate something by giving him payrolls shvius. That's what it says. A mosrin payrolls shvius lama aretz. Since this dealer is not going to know the halachas of Shemitah, he's not going to take the money and purchase fruits and treat them with the sanctity of Shemitah. He's going to pocket the money and keep it. Now will come the Zman HaBiur, and the Zman HaBiur means it's got to go back out on the field, and he won't. Good. So what Isur will you now say I violated at this particular moment? What did I do wrong? So take a look at Rashi. Let's read the Rashi. We did not emphasize this last week, but we should. We're going to read the Rashi, a mosrin d'mei peros la'am ha'aretz. Says Rashi, the ha'Torah amra, because the Torah says, le'achla, that the fruits of Shemitah are designed to be eaten. Le'achla v'lo l'schora, and not for commerce. Shekol peirush shviyas, all peirush of shmita, chayavin lehisba'er b'shviyas. They must be gotten rid of, lehispara means to be destroyed during the Shemitah year. Doesn't mean you throw it in the garbage. It means consumed halachically, properly during the Shemitah year. Hain, the food itself, udemehen. Udemehen. Velo shiyaase behem scheroso, and not that he shall engage in commerce, lahatznia laachar shviyas, to hold on to the money until after Shemitah, if you remember this from last week, ulahaashir, and to become a millionaire by holding on to the money which he received from the fruit of Shemitah. The Ame Ha'oretz Chashudu Malkach. Ame Ha'oretz are suspected of doing that, of keeping and hoarding the money. Lefikach, says Rashi, Ein Mosrin Lohem Damim. I, the buyer, am not permitted to give them, the seller, money for my esrog on Shemitah. Why? Damim likach mehem klum bidamim. Why? To ka'avar alifnei iver lo sitin mechshol. I violate the law of lifnei iver lo sitin mechshol. How am I putting a stumbling block in front of him? By giving him cash. What's he going to do with that cash? Legas and Ein Keshela. Put it in his pocket and keep it there. Instead of once again redeeming. So at the very moment when I go ahead and give him the money, he doesn't violate anything immediately. The Amaretz, the seller, doesn't violate anything. Right now, because there is nothing wrong, according to Rashi, simply exchanging the fruit. That's not what la'achla v'lo l'schora means. It doesn't mean you can't engage in any commerce or commercial enterprise. What does it mean, l'schora? L'hatznia. You can't engage in enterprise, commercial enterprise, if your purpose is to increase the bank account. But if you do what? If you sell, and your intention is to repurchase fruits of Shemitah, that's perfectly okay. This Am Ha'aretz is not going to do so. Since it's not going to do so, under those circumstances, I am doing something wrong right now. I am setting them up so that in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, when the time comes to purchase the fruits, because the fruits on the field have run out, have been exhausted, he won't do so. So right now, I am violating the law of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol.
What happens if he's acting as an agent for somebody?
Who?
Like the seller. If he's representing... Like there are guys that are major sellers, but they hire 20 guys to sell for them.
That's a good question. So if it's not going to be his, if he doesn't keep the earnings...
But he does, and he pays them whatever they pay.
So it might be, everybody's going to have to be a Talmud Chacham. Anybody who handles some of this money will not be either the original dealer, the guy in Petach Tikva, or the guys who are on Canal Street selling it for him. No doubt. I used to go out with my brother Erev Yontif and then get a really good esrog for $10, because after Shkia Sachama was worth 2 cents. So for a $50 set, you give him 10. He grabbed it. That's all. And if he didn't, go to the next guy who had a little more seichel to take the $10 on Canal Street, right? So that's what he says. I just want you to know Shita Sarambam about Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. Listen carefully. I will illustrate it with the laws of Shatnez, and it's true in any situation. If I go ahead and place a garment of Shatnez on the chair right here, right, and you wear it, I violate the law of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. I am putting a stumbling block for you. You're going to wear shackles. But if I take the jacket and put it on you, then according to the Rambam, I violate the law of wearing shackles. Lo suba shackles. Not just lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. Same thing the Rambam says in Hilchas Tuma, in Hilchas Nazirus. If I cause a nazir to walk into a cemetery. How? I took his wallet and I threw it into the cemetery. And it's got $20,000 in it, right? So there's a little temptation for the nazir to go into the cemetery.
So I caused him, by throwing his wallet to the cemetery, I violated with Neiva Lusitim Nefshah. But if he's walking along the cemetery, and I push him into the cemetery, I myself will violate the law, believe it or not, of Tumas Nazir, and I'll get Malkus. Shitas HaRambam is that if you actively direct, not just facilitate, but if you actively direct somebody to do something, it's as if you violated the law and you get Malkus, which is unbelievable.
To the exclusion of the
Lifnei Iver. For Lifnei Iver, you don't get Malkus. Because it's a law Shibaklolos. There are 50,000 ways to violate Lifnei Iver L'Sitim Nosha. 50,000. In order to get Malkus for the violation of a law, there has been one prescribed activity which is prohibited. I just gave you two prescribed activities. I walk into, I see a Nazir coming, and I put down a bottle of wine. That's Lifnei Iver. I see you coming, it's cold outside, I put down a coat, I know it's Shatnez, and I don't tell you about it. That's Lifnei Iver. So the word Lifnei Iver can be violated in 60,000 different ways, so it's called a lav shebiklolos, a general type of lav, and for the rule is lav shebiklolos in Lokanola. Yeah?
If you, the causer, are going to get the Avera, the implication would be is the actor, when you push in, can't get the Avera.
That is correct.
He's an onus.
1,000% agreed. Agreed. If I push the Nazir in, he will violate nothing.
But as opposed to the Naiver, where the actor will be over.
Correct. 1,000%. That's a very good point. That when you violate with Naiver, the person who does it, I leave the bottle of wine here. I didn't force him to drink it. He picks up the bottle of wine. He, as the Nazir, violates the Isur of Lo Yishtayayim. But I violated for facilitating. Correct. Yes.
Just for clarification, what are the other Rishonim say by pushing Nazir?
No. That the only... So I'll be... whatever you... It'll also be Lifnei Iver. I'm a Shekitz. But you can't say that I drank... That I violated the Isur of drinking wine as a Nazir. You can't say that I wore Shatnez because I didn't wear Shatnez. It's not what I did. You know, I'm a chayte or machti yisarab. Yes, I'm a machti yisarab, not chayte. I'm a machti yisarab. I cause other people to sin and transgress, but I myself am a aggressive tzaddik.
That's all. So on Yom Kippur, you should give him machti yoyna. That's all.
give him something else, but not machti yoyna. What? No, Rashi doesn't tell us. Rashi here seems to say that it's only lifnei iver, and that's it. Yeah, it fits with the Rambam's definition, 100%.
This whole Mishnah is written on the premise that there's a general assumption you can assume that sellers of Esrogim are Amehav.
Correct. That's correct. So the Mishnah just writes a blank, exactly. The Mishnah furnished no detail. The Mishnah is operating on the assumption, the way the Gemara explains, most dealers are Amehavs, therefore I make an exclusionary rule. Nobody is allowed to pay for an esrog. And once you make that rule, you're right. The Mishnah does not say, you know what, if he's a Talmud Chacham, I can. The Mishnah doesn't say that. It says you don't give money for the esrog. Because you don't want to start making deals. Oh, you're an Amot, who's going to be that Talmud Chacham? Who's going to be that Boichin? Yeah.
There's another consequence of the
Mishnah.
The Nazir pushed into the cemetery. Does it violate, even though he's not going to be chayav, but is it so serious as
Nazir? Yes, it does.
And he has to go through
Correct. Right. But the case, so that's why the case of the Shatnez is clearer. Yeah. There are no ramifications other than the fact that you violate. But you're right. By Nazir, there happens to be whether he did it deliberately, b'shoigeg, the Torah says, in b'fesa pisom, somebody died. And he happened to have been in the room. It's not his fault that somebody died when he wasn't in the room. And that still interrupts his Nazirus. He's got to bring a korban and start all over again. Correct? Right? Good. Let's move on. Now comes the major issue for tonight, which we just pushed aside last week. And I did a disservice, and that's why I researched it a little today. Taisus actually talks about it. Says the Gemara, Disanya, we learned in the Braisa. How do I know that such a halacha is indeed true? namely that you are not permitted to give peiros to an amoretz, money rather to an amoretz. How do I know? The sign that we learned in the Braisa, ein mosrin demei peiros shvi islam amoretz, yoser mimazon gimel sudas. You're not permitted to give more than 3 meals worth to an amoretz. 3 meals you're allowed to give. Why? Because an amoretz only could not fast. An amoretz has to eat. Right? So under normal circumstances, how many meals a day do you eat? 2. Shabbos, you have to eat 3. So the Chachamim said, to facilitate his eating for Shabbos, I am allowed to. He doesn't want to eat fruits all, can eat fruits the whole, first of all, Esra, not many people eat this way. Right? So he wanted to buy a good piece of basa v'dag in the chol matamim. So you're allowed to give him mazon gimel sudas. Fine.
Very nice. Mazon gimel sudas.
Ve'im masar. But if he gave more than mazon gimel sudas, yomar, he should say, the buyer should say, hare hamaos halalu yihiyu michulalin al peiros sheyesh li besoch beisi. I have fruit in my house. I want the money that I just gave to him to be transferred to what? To the fruit that is in my house. I will now go ahead and what? And treat my fruit with Kedusha Shvius. And now this dealer can do whatever he wants with that money. That's what I do. So this just confirms one halacha, first of all, confirms the following halacha. When Shvius is Tofes Estomeha, it's only Peri Risha. Only the first exchange is Tofes Estomeha. Tfisas Damim means that if I have something which is Usur, let's assume I have this phone which is Usur, and I sell it to you, the phone remains Usur, and the money remains endowed with the Isur. That's called Tofes Estomeha. Now by Avodah Zarah, as I told you, the Isur continues. If I take the money and I buy this chocolate over here, the chocolate now becomes Asur Mishum Avodah Zarah. And the money remains Asur as well. It's Tofes Estomeha L'Yoylam Voed, not Peiros Shmita. Peiros Shmita are Tofes Estomim, only the first exchange. So what was the first exchange? I, the buyer, go to the Amoretz to buy an Esrog. The Peira Esrog of Shemitah is endowed with Kedusha. It comes into my possession, it retains its Kedusha. The money is now Kadosh with Kedusha Shemias as well. Because it was Tofes Es Dama. Now, I am going to hire anybody else. Let's say somebody else wants to buy something with that money of Kedusha Shvius. Or I want to buy money. The money will then go out. The money will become perfectly chul. And where will the Kedusha Shvius now be transferred? Just to the item that was bought. Just to the item that was bought. So if I was a regular, let's just say I'm the Amoretz. You bought, you're a Talmud Chacham, you gave me money for the Esrog. I sold you the Esrog. I have now money, okay? And I now go buy a computer with it, okay? The computer is endowed with Kedusha Shvius, but the money is no longer Kadosh. The money is no longer Kadosh. Therefore, the game that the Brisa suggests works very well. What happened? The Amoretz is the seller, selling Shemitah. I did something wrong and I gave him $50 for the Esro. Way more than Mazon Gimel Sudas. So what do? I make a statement. I say, I have apples and pears in my house. I want the Kedusha of that money which I just gave him to be Michulal on the apples and pears in my house. So where is the Kedusha of Shvi is transferred to? To the apples and the pears. What happens to the money? It becomes ordinary money. He can buy lottery tickets, whatever he wants. He will violate absolutely nothing with it. Yeah.
Why can't
do what?
You do transfer even before you approach the Gemara's. Try to say, I have this money that I'm going to use to buy this fruit. The Kedusha should go on to the fruits I have in my house. And now you buy it. Actually, no, the SVI comes after the fact.
Because the first payri is still right. The Esro will always remain Kadosh. The first exchange is always Asr. Remains Kedusha Shvi'is. And it remains, it retains its Kedusha. Only the second exchange will work. Only the second exchange will work. So the first exchange has to be with Amaros, because he's got the fruit. He's got the fruit. So I buy the fruit. He has money that is now endowed with Kedusha Shvi'is. I have an Esrog that's endowed with Kedusha Shvi'is. I'm going to treat it properly, don't worry about that. But what about him? So now I say, let the money which is in my possession, let the money which is in his possession be transferred to my fruits that are on my house. The money becomes chulin, and the fruits now become kadosh with kedusha shviyas, which I will treat properly. So says the Gemara. So everybody asked the question, Moshe asked the Gemara, and others asked the question, how halachically do I have a right to take your money and transfer the Kedusha of Shvius on your money onto my fruits? I have a right to do that. I have a right to do something that I own. I have no ownership in that. How do you effect a legal transaction of exchange? It's called pinyon in this regard, redemption, if you don't own it. You can't redeem something that you don't own. That was the question that was posed. So please take a look at the bottom of Tosfos. And Tosfos, it throws in the towel and he says, you're right, it doesn't work midoraisa. Only works midrabbanan. Only works midrabbanan. Says Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos. Ma'os halalu mechulalin al peros sheyeshli besoch besi. Pluktehi Bishmaitza Ditznuin Bimeruba. This is actually subject to a debate in Maseches Bava Kama with a group of people known as Tsinuin. Let me tell you what the case is. And then we'll elaborate. Here is the case which the Gemara talks about. I am a farmer. I treat my stuff Kedasu Kedin. I do things what I'm supposed to. I have now peros of what's called neta revai. Peros of neta revai. What is neta revai? The fourth year of which a produce grows. Now, what am I supposed to do with it? I'm supposed to take it to Yerushalayim. Correct. What happened was, poor people came, and they took the net to revive. Okay. Let's assume even legally. How did they take it legally? Let's assume what? Leket, exactly. Some of the bunches fell off, whatever it was. Now, I know that these poor, poverty-stricken people are never going to take the fruits to Yerushalayim. They're hungry. They're not going to Yerushalayim. So what do? I'm a tsanua. I'm a very... like you say in English, a'up gehit in the yid. I am very careful. I don't only want to not violate things myself. I don't want somebody else to violate with my fruits either. So I will make a statement and say, let's assume, for argument's sake, I have my orchard, this orchard of stuff is in Petah Tikva. And I have 50,000 barrels of neta revai. What's the halacha? Do I have to schlep all 50,000 barrels of... No. You can be podeit, exactly, like my sasheni, same thing. So if I own it, it's no problem. Problem is, somebody else already took it. Somebody else owns it. So the Tznuin made an announcement and said,
the peiros which they took, the peiros they took, I don't want them to eat it in Petach Tikva and violate the Isur of eating peiros ravan. I have fruits in my kitchen. I would like to take the Kedusha of the peiros of Netta Ravai and transfer it to the fruits in my house. So whatever they eat will be what? Chulin. Because it's not Shvius. Peiros Shmita, peiros Netta Ravai, and not Tofes Istamel. They don't grab the Isur. So where does the Kedusha of the Netta Ravai fruits now on? On the fruits that are in my house. And the fruits that this Amoritz, Ganav, or even Prahab took in him belong to him, and that's it. And he will eat them. He doesn't have to eat them in Yerushalayim. He can eat them in Petach Tikva. Says the Gemara, that doesn't work according to all opinions. It doesn't work. What is the Machlokes? I gave you a situation whereby somebody took it legally, because it was paired. But the truth be told, if it's Netta Ravai, I don't let anybody just take it. Because what am I supposed to do with it? I have to take it to Yerushalayim. So there is a halach in Bava Kama in the following case. Gozal velo nisya'ashu haba'olim. Gozal velo nisya'ashu haba'olim. Here is the case. If you were to steal this tape recorder from me, and I still have hope that I'm going to recover it. I have never given up hope. Says the famous statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Shnehem einam yecholim lahakdisho. I can't be makdish this tape recorder to the Beis HaMikdash, nor can you, the Ganav, be makdish this to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? I can't be makdish it because it's not in my possession. You stole it. You can't be makdish it because it doesn't belong to you. That's the Gemara says. Says Tosfos, this story about the tznuin cannot be understood according to the Man D'Yomar that by gozal velo nisyashu habalim shnehem einam yicholim lahadisha. They can't. So now what's happening here? What's happening here? I gave the Moos Maaseh Sheni to the Amoritz. He gives me the Esro. Do I have any bias on? Do I own the money any longer once I give it to him? Do I own the money any longer? No. Says Tosfos like a Kal V'Chomer. If in the case of what? If in the case of what? In the case where you stole this. So legally I still own it. Legally I still own it. And nonetheless, I am lacking the capacity to change its status. Nonetheless, I am lacking the capacity, because it's not my reshus. Certainly, where I give away the money, and not only is the money not in my reshus, but what else is it not? It's legally not mine. How can I go ahead and be mechala mos? I'll pay what she actually besoth basing. How can I redeem something that doesn't belong to me? So Tosfos asks that just as the tznuin, were not able to protect the person who picked up the Netta Ravai and ate it in Petach Tikva and was not able to do what? He was the owner of the fields, could not say, hey, these guys have my Netta Ravai. They were thieves. And since they took it, it was not in my possession. And if it's not in my possession, I can no longer spare them the Isur of violating, because it's not in my possession any longer. How then could our Gemara propose that in this situation, where not only is the money not in my possession, it's not in within my legal ownership because it wasn't stolen. I gave it away willingly. Certainly it should not be able to work. So Tosfos says, you're right. It doesn't work, mid'oraisa. It's only a knas which the Rabbanon imposed upon him.
I'm
the buyer. I was imposed, a knas was imposed upon me. What type of knas? What type of knas? What does knas mean? A fine. What did I do wrong that I am being subject to a fine? What did I do wrong that I was subject to a fine? I gave money away, which I should not have given to this Amoritz. So the rabbis are very upset with me. So what will they now tell me to do? The value of that money, let's say it was $50, I have to take $50 of fruit in my house and eat it b'kedushas shviyas. Not because I will spare the owner of the money, the seller, of violating. He's going to violate it. He's going to violate it. Why is he going to violate it? If he takes the money and puts it in his pocket and saves it until after the Zman Habir, he will violate the prohibition. And my attempt to redeem something will be absolutely worthless. Because you cannot redeem something that doesn't belong to you. That doesn't belong to you. You can't redeem something that doesn't belong to you. So therefore, why does the Braisa now say, what do I, buyer, have to do? I say, Ma'os halalu, the money that I gave to the seller, you mechulalan aperush yeshli b'self besi, it's only a knas midrabana. The Rabbanan have imposed a fine that every dollar I gave away b'isur, I am going to lose the ability to use that money, and I have to now treat that money with Kedusha Shemitah, with the fruits that are in my house. But the money in the hands of that Amoritz Esrog dealer, if he chooses not to use them properly, I am not going to protect him from violating the Lav, because it is impossible to protect somebody by such a redemption process if you don't own the item. If you don't own the item. Yeah.
Is he saying that the knas is penalized him for being over lifnei iver?
It seems like it, yes.
But he didn't intend to, he just forgot.
Who just forgot?
The buyer of the Esrog.
Excellent. How do you know that? How do you know that?
Rashi, I think, says it.
Exactly. Let's take a look at Rashi. Exactly. Very good. You read that very carefully. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Let's read the Rashi. Rashi says, B'dibra maschel. Im Masar. Does everybody have the Rashi? V'im Masar. V'im Masar. The din is, you are not supposed to give the money. You are not supposed to give the money. V'im Masar, what do you do? What do you do? You say this person, says Rashi, Im Masar, Sheshachach Umasalo. What did this Talmud Chacham buyer forget? What did he forget? He forgot the halacha. That I am not permitted to do what? To give him Maos of Shemitah. I'm not permitted to do so. But Lichat Chila, am I allowed to do so? Of course not. The din is, you're not allowed to give an Amoritz more than Yosef Gimel Sudas. So what happened here? So if I did so, I say, I don't care what the halacha says. Now we're going to make this? Absolutely not. You forgot the halacha. The deal has already been consummated. Tough darts. So the Rabbanan are now going to punish you for your incompetence you don't have it in your head. You forgot the halacha, like my mother always said. As mahatnish in cup, hatman in feast. Right? If you forgot something in the store, she gave you a whole list of things, and you know you didn't want to write it down. Of course, I'll remember. And you forget once, she makes you go back to the store again. If you don't have it in your head, you got it in your feet here too. If you don't have it in your head to remember, it's going to come out of your pocket. I'm going to make you pay for it. Correct. So why is that? Because lechatchila, this whole deal doesn't work. You can't set it up that I'm going to give away money which is now endowed with kedusha of masa of shmita, and so you know what? I'll redeem it, but the stuff it doesn't work. It's so only a bidi eved that you did it, and it's a fine. It doesn't really work.
So maybe you can't prove the second round isn't toas.
What do you mean you can't prove?
You set it up, the Gemara, that you prove from this Gemara that the second round isn't toas estama.
Excellent question. If it doesn't, that is excellent point. If we're saying now on a din da oraisa it doesn't work, then from this Gemara there is no proof. You'll have to trust me that that's the din. You're right, from this Gemara there's no proof. Because halakhically it didn't accomplish anything. Correct. 100%. Yeah.
Can you even halak in your case here from the case of the Netzaravai? In the case of Netzaravai, you're trying to remove the Kedusha from the fruit.
Right.
And here you're trying to remove the Kedusha from the money.
Correct. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that money is never intended to be the end object. You're always looking with the money to buy something to affect the kedusha on. The money itself is never the end state.
Right.
You're supposed to buy something with it, and you with that do with it with the kedusha. So it's like always looking for something.
I hear what you're saying. I hear.
So maybe say we get it. Even though it's not his, the money is always being the money's got to find a place to land.
So therefore, it can find a place to land even if it's not halakhically mine.
Right.
Okay. I'm not saying no. It's an interesting distinction, no doubt. The problem is that from the mechanism of kinyanim, it still doesn't meet the litmus test. But I hear what you're saying. I hear, yeah.
This whole thing is a knas. Well, what's the price of going through all this song and dance, being flowing?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, why is the price of going through
all this song and dance, being flowing? Just say you did it as a knas. What's the language?
But that's okay. But you want to know how? Okay, that's a good question. But it's a knas that we want you to learn a lesson from. Why am I fining you? One, because you have now been responsible for $50 worth of Shemitah money that is not going to be treated with Kedusha Shvias. So I want you to see that there's a direct correlation. How do they see it? You go through this little game, this little rigmarole. You're right, on a D'oraisa level, it's worthless. And you're right, on a D'rabbanan level, could just take $50. Just go ahead and take. You're right. Interesting. I'm not saying I'm not going to quibble with you. Yeah. So that's what Tosfos says. If you look at the Tosfos now, look at the second line of the Tosfos. Uleman de Osar Kosha Ma Moil Kan. According to the opinion there, that the Tsnuin case is not going to be effective because he doesn't own it. He doesn't own it. You can't redeem it. What in the world was accomplished with the Gemara's statement that you say Peros Halalo Yiyu Mechulalan Al Beisi? What could be accomplished? Just one second. V'yeshloimar V'haf Knas of Al. You're right. It's a Knas. Midoraisa, it doesn't work. So the whole Braisa is working on a Din Derabba. You would never think of this just reading the Braisa. When we read the Gemara last week, yeah, of course, it looks like perfect legitimate. Never read it. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
There was a differentiation between by the tznuin, whether the fruits were stolen or gave it to them, no?
No, it makes no difference whatsoever.
But the only
machloikis is, Taisis is according to the Mandiyama. If you gave away to the tznuin legally, everybody says you can't do it.
Cannot,
because it doesn't belong to you. If they stole it, then there is a machloikis. Why? Because since they stole it, and I have not been miyaesh, legally I'm still the owner. So according to one opinion, you can redeem something that they have in their possession. Why? Because at least I'm still the owner. Exactly. I am the owner. Except it's not in my possession, I grant it, but I am the owner of it. That's why it's subject to a debate. Tosfos is only asking according to the opinion who says that by the tznuin it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because in order to effect status change, ownership is insufficient. What do you require? Bailus as well. You need ownership, you need rishus, possession, not just legal ownership.
Correct.
And the announcement that got through before they sold it wasn't sufficient.
Not enough. That's correct. It was not enough. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, I'm again right.
Says the Gemara, Bamed Dvarim Amurin, this whole discussion of the Gemara, that I go to a esrog dealer and I buy things and I shouldn't have, but he gives it to me b'matana, and if I paid for it I have to follow the deal, which we just said is below keach min amufkar. That's if the esrog dealer in general observes Shemitah law. What do I mean, a general observe Shemitah law? His esrog orchard is open to everybody. Anybody's allowed to come and take. But he also hoards some of them for himself. And he sells them. That's all. He brings them to America. We don't have esrogim growing in our backyards. So we're at a loss. We don't have, I can't walk into his backyard and take an esrog. If I was in Eretz Yisrael, I could do that. So under those circumstances, the fruit itself is mutter, but you're not supposed to give the money because you're setting up lifnei iver lo sitin lashon. Aval b'lokeach min ha'mishumar. But if the person who you purchased the field from, it was guarded, namely, it was on the lock and key, the field which in which the esrogim grew was under lock and key. Nobody had a right to eat it. Nobody had a right to enter and pluck it. Says the Bryce, says the Gemara, afilu bichatzi isar asur. Even giving a half isar, it's a very small coin amount, is 100% asur. 100% asur. Take a look at Rashi. Avalokeach min ha'mishumar. Shesode zu haise mishumeres begeder. The field was surrounded by a field. By a fence. U pesach na'ul. And the door was locked. You couldn't get in. Zen nechshad. This person is choshed. Le'inyin she'eno mafkir la'aniyin. Such a person who locks it, obviously, is choshud on what? That he doesn't allow the primary din of Shemitah to take place. V'chsiv v'achlu evyonei amecha. V'ha'aramahi shemochwin al yad al yad. And what is this? This is like a little game that he's playing. You know what? I'll only sell you a small amount. I'm not making it like what? I'm selling you 50 barrels worth of asraigim? He's just trying to say, I'll sell you what? The rest, of course, I'm going to open up to what? To the anir, but it's a bunch of baloney. If it's under lock and key right now what happens? You're not even supposed to give him kichatzi isar. Okay, very nice. So what happens? So what am I not supposed to do under those circumstances? I am the buyer. I am not permitted to give him even mazon gimel sudas. So what does he have to do? In order for me to be kind of mitzvah of esrog, what does he have to do now?
Open his field.
No, that's going to be the second step. Mm-hmm. What does he have to do when I want to purchase this esrog for him?
Give it to me for free.
Exactly. He's got to give it to me for free. And that's the way Rashi and most Rishonim live. It doesn't impact on your ability to be mekayim the mitzvah. It just impacts on your ability to even give him mazon gimel sudos. You can't give him a dime. Not a dime can you give him. So if you can't give him a dime, how are you going to get an esrog to be mekayim the mitzvah with? Answer, he's got to give it to you as an absolute gift, no strings attached. And if he doesn't want to give it to you, no strings attached, so you won't be mekayem mitzvah. Exactly, you walk away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will understand that the dealer did not want to give you an esrog for nothing. He'll understand that.
But if he were to turn around this Amoritz Shaigatz and give you what? And give it to you beheter, even though he keeps the rest of it on the lock and key, no problem, you can still be Mekayim the mitzvah. I just can't give him Muslim Gimel Sudos. That's all that happens. Just one second.
Sort of like pronounced.
The Rabbeinu Tam is the one who says that it goes well beyond that. Tosfos, the deep in the big Tosfos, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam and says that an esrog that comes from a field that is mishumar is osur ba'achila. You're not allowed to eat it. I am not allowed to eat, nor is the owner. Peros ha-mishumarim are asur ba'achila during Shemitah. If it's asur ba'achila, you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of arba minim with it, because it's not yours. Because the first definition, the first litmus test of definition of yours, you must have the ability to eat it. But if what? If it's mishumar, says the Rabbeinu Tam, so it's far worse than Rashi. According to Rashi, the Gemara's limitation is only that you can't charm and you have to follow the rule of the Mishnah. No sein lo esrog b'matan. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara is far worse. If the orchard dealer Amoritz has the field locked up, you don't even bother buying. Don't even take it as a gift, because if you're going to take it as a gift, it's worthless. Because once it's mishumar, the halacha imposes an iser d'oraisa, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, may even be d'oraisa, against eating peros which were not available for aniyim. Yeah.
Why is it asabana? Why should it be worse than hefker? You could say that, no. I mean, even though it's locked up, and Ami can climb over and take it.
But he can't. He's got an electric fence there.
That's a practical question.
Okay, so that's just
it. He wants to give it to you.
But the halacha is, if the fruit was ever locked up and denied to aniyim, says the Rabbeinu Tam, the fruits are asur b'hanah. Asur b'achila. You don't need asur b'hanah. It's asur b'achila. Once it's asur b'achila, for mitzvah purposes, it's already gone.
So now we're saying that the case of the Mishnah is a case of an Ama Aretz who knows enough about Shemitah.
Correct.
That he doesn't guard the field, but not enough to know that he can't do anything.
Correct. He's just tempted when you give him money in his pocket. It's a temptation that he can't resist. But basically, Kedasa Kedin, he's observing Shemitah. Had he not observed Shemitah Kedasa Kedin, according to Rabbi Natan, there's nothing to talk about. You walk away, you can't deal with this guy. It's Asur Bachi. And as I said, some people quote this Rabbeinu Tam as the reason why they don't want to buy Esroigim of Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. Because they're afraid that the Pardesim were Shmurim, guarded, and therefore they become Asur Bachila. That's the excuse that some people use, not for this reason. Most we shine. The halach is against the Rabbeinu Tam. The halach is not like the Rabbeinu Tam. They are not asabachim. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. It's not the halach. Yeah.
The Rabbeinu Tam's halach, I mean, is the source for it here, or is it a source in Sefer Shviyas? And that should be a Shviyas topic.
It's a Shviyas topic. But it's got nothing to do with here.
But if you could,
it's just applicable.
Right. But you don't see the Rashi here. Shviyas.
For Shviyas?
Is the idea of the status of Peros of a field that's Mishumar.
It doesn't say it's black on white.
It's not the record.
That's correct. It does not say if it would be black on white, no one would be able to argue with it.
Right. There is no here.
It's inferred. Right. Maybe from Tosfos quotes other sources as well.
Rashi, how he holds here.
From here, we believe that Rashi did not. He did not say it's us. He just said you don't give afilu kisa. That's all. That's what Rashi said. Just mimicking the Gemara. What does Rashi say? V'harame he shemochin al yan al yan. He's just trying to fool you by selling it what one at a time. You know, I'll sell the rest later. But he never said that it's asur b'achila. It can't be the kind of mitzvah. Just saying, don't do it. Don't give him even a penny's worth. That's all. Don't give him a penny. All right.
We'll stop here, and we'll continue with the Gemara's attack on this halacha of Min HaMufkar versus Mishumar. We'll continue with the next Gemara. And then we'll get into Basa Lakita, Basa Hanata. Difficult Gemara, these two blocks.
So what happens to the money at the end? Instead it's not co-face. So the last purchase...
Who had it?
I didn't show it off.
What?